Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon to you, Pastor Manya.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Are you well?
I'm well, in spite of the busy schedule for work related, but I'm doing good.
Lovely. Well, I'm quite elated to have you here on the show. Quite excited, I must say. And we're going to be having you this week, every day this time, to talk about this topic, approaching it from different angles, of course. And we actually want to unpack the implications of the fifth commandment, which is honor your father and mother. This rule sits right on the border between our survival, or our vertical duties to God, and our horizontal duties to human society. Now, parental honor is the structural hinge of moral law, suggesting a profound spiritual reality. Human authority is meant to mirror divine authority. Before a young child can even comprehend an invisible God, they look into the faces of their parents. If a person cannot learn to respect the visible authority figures sitting across the breakfast table, how can they truly submit to an invisible God? And so this week, we want to explore, the pastor is going to be helping us, to explore how this crucial commandment anchors all other human relationships. Now, Pastor Manya, when we look at the physical tablets of the law, the fifth commandment stands right at the intersection of our vertical duty to God and our horizontal duty to mankind. Now, the question is, why do you believe God placed this specific relational mandate as the bridge between heaven and earth?
Thank you so much. On face value, it seems to suggest that the arrangement shows the intersection between our relationship with God, as seen in the first four commandments that are mostly dealing with our worshiping of God, and the last six are suggesting to show our interaction with fellow human beings. So the fifth commandment really comes in as the bridge, as you've said, where you are still in the heavenly authority. Of course, God's authority is both in heaven and on earth and everywhere in the entire universe. But he also gives a responsibility. There's this authority that he has given on earth, as seen in the human form of parents. And this is where now the fifth commandment comes in, because it zooms on the authority that God has delegated to humanity here on earth, as beginning through the parents, the origin, of course, the origin of all offsprings that we see here on earth.
Scripture intentionally uses the word honor rather than simply obey. How does this word choice change the lifelong application of the commandment, especially as children transition into independent adulthood?
Well, it's very interesting, because when we look at the two words, others may seem to say it suggests to mean the same. And this may be, when you read it from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, Paul there admonishes to say, children, obey your parents in the Lord. But the commandment in Exodus chapter 20, in Exodus chapter 20 says, honor your father and mother. Mm. Now, the two, Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. So the two words carry a significant meaning, and the context is definitely clear. Paul is not negating the fact of honoring, but he amplifies the distinction of the two words in this way. Number one, obedience, or rather, let me start with honor. Honor is something that extends throughout one's life. The Hebrew word kabed literally means to give weight, value, esteem, or to treat as significant. On the other hand, obedience has seasons. Okay, honor never expires. And this is what poor now qualifies the honoring of parents vis-a-vis obedience. When he says obey your parents in the Lord, he puts the context. A parent that is win in reverence of the fear of God, they may issue instructions that are godly, obey, and execute those instructions. A parent who may instruct you out of instruct you into paths that are seditious in nature, that are dangerous, that are not of user friendly to you, if I can say so, you do not need to follow that instruction. You don't need to follow that instruction because it is dangerous to you, even though it is coming from a parent. However, that lack of following instruction does not mean you don't honor them.
Mm.
Yep. So this is where now the distinction between the two comes in. In fact, by you not following, by you not obeying to do that which is destructive, you are honoring their God-given authority. In short, you are simply telling them, when I weigh your value, I don't expect you to lead me or instruct me to do such things and show it as a means of obedience to you, when you know that this is something that is quite destructive to me, even as your child. So the two ways I can give the distinction from that perspective, and honor is something that carries itself all the way. Even when a person, as long as the person has that reached that level of a parent, they don't have to do good things, but I have to honor them because they've attained that level of authority God has given them. I have to respond to their instruction if their instruction are in obedience in the Lord. Yes.
Now, if parents are a child's first tangible representation of authority, how exactly does our relationship to earthly parents shape or distort our capacity to trust and submit to a divine father?
This is a very good question. You know, I personally, like, okay, I'm a parent. Now, I want to give my personal experience from that perspective. There are moments my kids would ask me certain strange questions of why I do what I'm doing. And at times, when you do something otherwise, they'll come to you and ask you, but I thought you had said this has to be done in this way. Why are you doing it? And it comes to my mind to say, oh, these guys are modeling after what I'm doing. Okay, they're modeling themselves out after what I'm doing. And what they think is right is also amplified through my behavior, my interaction with things, and what I define as right and wrong. What I deem fit and comfortable is what they follow, and they pattern themselves after me as a model. The fact that I've called myself to be a parent, then there are certain qualities I have to display, and children at that level follow through as the perfect example. And now this is where now we see the role of parenting, whether to shape for the positive or for the negative. Because when you see God in the Bible, Hebrews chapter 12 verse 9 tells us that we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? So the question there is, the Paul is simply saying, if your earthly parents have corrected you, then you also should expect correction from your heavenly Father, because he also corrects. Now, the correction of the earthly parent and that of the heavenly father seem to differ. Because when you read about God correcting you and you look at how your father and your mother have been correcting you, you realize, say, I think no. If this is how God corrects, no, then I think God is not so friendly. Because sometimes parents can be rough in their correction. They can be more punitive and not really from the point of discipline. It can be more of a punishment and not discipline. But what God is talking about is instilling a level of discipline. So we see the characteristics of love, justice, care, and discipline, protection. Those are the qualities that a parent can exert, visible to a child. Visible for a child to emulate, visible for a child to even connect with the parent, and when correctly done, they may also appreciate how God corrects people, how God loves people, how God disciplines, how God protects. And if these are distorted through abuse, an abusive parent, a neglectful parent, a controlling parent who seems just to impose things and never leave room for the power of choice to grow in a child. It also affects the understanding of that child, the understanding of God, because like in our culture, we are taught that your first parent, your first God is your parent. Yeah, your first God is your parent. And later on, you begin to grow on understanding that, oh, these, my parents, are a representation of what God would like us, would like me to see in the Heavenly Father.
Now, you know, we live in a broken world where many parents fail miserably due to addiction, neglect, or abuse. How can a child practically fulfill the mandate to honor a parent whose past actions were deeply dishonorable or even destructive?
These are realities, and I can agree to this question, such that even people, you know, certain tendencies that people are using to shape their homes as a result of their background, the traumatic effect of their upbringing, also makes them to silently begin to think this is the way life should be. And now, this is a person who has become a parent, and they are reliving their childhood memories and thinking this is the way I should treat others and raise others. And innocently so, they may be displaying traumatic effects even in the future. Now, I've put up this statement because I would want to show the extent of wrong parenting, the effect of wrong parenting. It is transitional. It is generational.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is generational, and we seem to have some hope. Where a person going through a destructive or abusive upbringing can really have an experience of a new creation in Christ, where God now influences them with people of tender heart. They get to know who Jesus is, who creates in us a clean heart that is responsive to Him. We begin to learn. But the opposite also is real. And many homes, many children today, and are behaving in the manner in which they are behaving, even as parents, not because that's what they desire for an ideal home, but that is because of what they've been brought up, how they were brought up in the past. Okay, how they were brought up in the past. So, how can a child then practically fulfill mandate to honor a parent whose past actions have been destructive? Remember what I mentioned when we talked about the distinction between obedience and honor, where we need to understand that honor is not limited to behavior. You may not like the behavior of someone, but you can still honor them. You can still show utmost respect It may be very difficult, and practically so, it can be very, very difficult. But in the other part of the conversation, I believe we need to understand, to be honest with ourselves, that if you don't understand why that parent is behaving in the manner they are, it can also be very difficult for you to exercise forgiveness, for you to exercise to appreciate their behavior from the point of forgiving them. It's quite touching, it's quite difficult, because these things are very real, and many people are regretting being born in certain homes because of how they were raised and how rough things have been, and their current future is something that they thought would have been better if they grew up in a more constructive home. In a more constructive home. But there's never in a place in scripture where it tells us to say those who are abusive, we cannot really exercise the respect that they need because of the nature in which they are. They are human beings created by God. They have been given a God mandate authority. But this is not to encourage their behavior, their abusive, destructive behavior. No, no. That's why now the instance of obedience comes in to say, if abusive or tendencies are being displayed, you can't obey to go in the path that they are leading you. So this is where now we begin to appreciate that boundaries have to be set right. Boundaries have to be set right. And in fact, the church and the society out there, we need really to really teach how people can set boundaries right, which can still make them appreciate what it means to honor a person and not obey their abusive behavior. Yes, that's
right. Yeah. Now, can a person genuinely walk in high spiritual maturity and close fellowship with God while at the same time harboring bitterness or devaluing their lineage?
So, Hebrews, let me answer it with scripture. There's a passage in scripture, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, which says, looking diligently, lest any, or be diligent, lest any root of bitterness springs up trouble in you. Bitterness is one evil that corrupts an individual and also corrupts people that are around you. We've heard of stories where some people have hated someone based on how the report they received. And families, you know, set up in families, would find that these people, they don't talk to each other, not because they were injured, but because they received a report to say, no. That one, I've never talked to them for quite some time. They did something that is bad to me, and I hate them. And everyone, the children, the other relatives, will follow suit to hate those people. Not that they were directly injured, and not even because they inquired to understand what is it that happened for you to bear such hatred for this person. And we see that spiritual maturity comes now to contend with such a feeling one harbors in their hearts. And I would want to agree to this one point, that if one has to know how they are growing spiritually, allow Jesus, surrender to Jesus that which you hold the most, even bitterness. Because there are some people who hold on to bitterness and embrace it as a justification to maintain who they are and their survival mode in this life. And they will hold on to it such that they are willing to share it with others consciously, even unconsciously. They would talk about it. They would physically show it. They would desirously embrace that others see things the way they see things. Mm-hmm. When in the actual sense, that damage that they experience, the pain that they experience, has a way of being restored and renewed. Mm-hmm. Forgiveness is one healing measure. You are not doing it for the person who offended you. You are doing it for yourself, for your healing, for your reconstruction, for your renewal of mindset, so that you understand how to let go of bitterness and not pollute any other person around you. So we should be content to understand, we should be careful to understand that our experience have a lasting influence upon other people that we engage with, and much more even the people who become a family out of us. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Pastor, for that. Now, I want us to now wrap up for today so that we can connect again tomorrow. For a listener who is feeling convicted right now but faces a highly fractured family dynamic, what are the very first step they can take to initiate a culture of honor?
As much as I would want to acknowledge the reality of such experiences, I would want to say that look at your pain not from a point of competition. Look at your pain from your point of experience, your personal experience. By competition, I mean where somebody would say, this happened, like you are trying to compare and justify that you lived a better life. Me, I lived a worse life. So you are better off than I am. And you feel justified to say, if I lived this life, I deserve to feel the way I'm feeling. I deserve to behave and react in whatever way because it justifies what I've gone through. So the first step I would like to even suggest is not to try to fix everything, fix everyone else. Okay, not try to fix things. But try to understand that what you need is not necessarily trying to fix, but surrender your heart to God. This sounds lighter, and sometimes it may sound insignificant when we look at measuring what we've gone through, the burdens we are carrying. But in reality, when we talk about surrendering to God, we are talking about losing control over things that have been bothering us. Remember, traumatic moments in one's life begin to cling onto us, and yeah, we begin to find ways of saying, let me have control over this and see how I can fix it. So coping mechanisms that indulge us to say, be in control, to hold it and have a way of managing, navigating through this, tend to make us feel superior over what has happened. Surrendering, on the other hand, is not a question of feeling superior over what has happened. It is a call to transforming our mind and our attitude. Because look at this. What the wrong thing that has happened to you has altered your thinking. Many people, because of what they've gone through, they've turned out to be murderers. Mm. They've become sexist. They've become tribal. They've become whatever, because of what they've gone through. And they feel justified when they actually implement what they are holding in their hands as being in control. But what God is calling us is that the first step, surrender it to God. Surrender it. Mm. Surrender that burden. Cry the cry of David as he prayed, God, create in me a clean heart.
Yeah, yeah.
And renew the right spirit.
Mm.
So that God can remove resentment and replace it with Christ's love. Jesus, who was smitten, who was spattered, who was insulted, yet he never revenged, but he went to the cross to redeem all those who even insulted him. So be sincere and have a practical prayer that reflects honor. honoring of those that have injured you, even if it's your parent. Offer sincere prayer for them. Express gratitude for any genuine good they have done. Speak respectfully rather than critically. Seek forgiveness where you have contributed to conflict. Mm. And extend kind acts where it is safe and wise.
Mm-hmm.
And if possible, according to Romans chapter 12, verse 18, if it is possible, as much as it is in your power, live at peace with all men.
Yeah. Yeah.
Live at peace with all men. Yeah. So let us remember this one thing, that we are not identified by the circumstances around us. We are identified by Christ who made us to be in this life.
Beautiful stuff, man. Pastor, I must thank you so much for coming through this afternoon. A pleasure to have you on the show. We're going to be connecting with you once again tomorrow at the same time and same place. Thank you so much for coming through.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate the invite, and God bless you even as we spread the words of hope to the world through this media station. Thank you so much. I appreciate.
Thank you so much. Talk to you tomorrow. Goodbye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.